Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are live with the Voice of Liberty, Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It's the Hour of Truth. This is Thursday night, and I'm Dave. Lisa's off doing some politics stuff tonight, so it's just me and you, folks. Give us a call, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. How about this week, huh? Been something down there. Been ups and downs. Been a real roller coaster in Tampa Bay. The Republicans, of course, if you have been like sleeping for 40 days and 40 nights, are having their convention. There's been a lot of media coverage. You could turn on just about any of the networks and hear all the speeches in the evening and hear all the liberals talk about ridiculous stuff like, I don't think he helped himself at all. Well, Governor Christie sounded kind of mealy-mouthed, didn't he? But all in all, the speakers have been phenomenal. Christie did an outstanding job, much better than I thought he would do. I thought he would come on and be a little bit too caustic, be a little bit too, be a little bit too Christie. And I thought he did an excellent job of laying the groundwork. I think that not attacking the president directly, not even mentioning his name, to a very great extent, is very helpful. All we have to do is keep our eye on the ball, keep talking about the issues, keep talking about the things that separate constitutional Americans from socialist Americans, and voila, Obama already looks bad. You don't even have to say his name. Just keep talking about the way it's supposed to be, and Obama already looks like a fool. The fool that he is, the liar that he is, the socialist that he is, the hater of America that he is, the hater of capitalism that he is, the hater of black people and women and families that he in fact is. I think it's an excellent strategy. But back to the first of the week, and we haven't been on since we started talking about this. There's a lot of consternation coming still from the grassroots Republicans over the way this thing is going, the way the Rules Committee handled the rules, the way they benched any voices besides the ones they wanted to hear, the way they twisted the rules to keep the other candidates who had very good showings in the primaries from having any voice or influence on the convention, the platform. It was amazing, and I think it was a continuation of this party self-destructing. We've talked about this at length in relation to the Todd Akin thing, and we're gonna get into a little bit of news on Akin here in a little bit. But we talked about this at length with that, and this party seems absolutely hell-bent on suiciding. They are sitting there with their arms folded and watching literally millions of grassroots Republicans who've been loyal Republicans their entire life leave the fold. They are sending out their minions out to Facebook and out to the social networks and out to the clubs and out to the VFWs to try to shepherd the flock back in. All of the folks who say this is the way it's supposed to work, all of the folks who say Ron Paul didn't earn a voice, all of the folks who say if you don't like it, then lump it, all of the folks who say Todd Akin should do the right thing and bow out, all of the folks who say that the Republican Party owns the convention and that you, the people, don't have anything to say about it, all of the folks that say come home, we'll make it right. And it isn't working. This party is finished, and it will never be the Republican Party that you grew up with. Face it. You now, the grassroots constitutional Americans, you are going to have a choice. You can either do like I did and just bolt the barn and stay out. And watch all of this party shenanigans on both sides going on from the outside and kind of chuckle once in a while and shake your head in dismay once in a while and continue to vote for the best person possible to do the job, recognizing that if you are a constitutional American, 90% of the time that person is going to be the Republican, and the same 90% of that 90%, the person is not, in fact, going to be a constitutionalist, but is going to be the best candidate available to get you either at least marking time, marching in place, or get you a little bit a la Mitt Romney, or get you a little bit closer to the goal, if not get you there, a la Akin Ryan. So that's one of your choices. Your other choice is to take your party now as it crumbles into an ash heap and rebuild it from the ground up and build it back into a party of the people. I don't think you can imagine how difficult that's going to be, because constitutionalist has nothing to do with the current Republican Party. So if you've been a loyal Republican all your life, you probably are all on board with this pro-life stance, but that's not constitutional. You probably are all on board with this defense of marriage stance, but that's not constitutional. So it's going to be very difficult for you to rebuild this party into a constitutional party of constitutional people if you aren't willing to let go of those parts of the party that have caused what's happening right now. All you're going to be doing is resurrecting the same old party. Maybe a little bit more amenable to outside influence. But that's exactly what it's going to be. We have a caller. Lisa's not with us tonight, as I said, so we're going to roll the dice here. Dave, this is the Hour of Truth. How you doing? Who's this?
This is Jason Davidson.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I am a committee man from Howard County, Missouri.
Howard County, all right.
Republican Party, yes. And I'm calling about basically right between what the Republican Federal National Committee has done in Tampa and what they have done to Todd Akin. It's like it thoroughly disgusts me.
It is, isn't it?
I know. It's basically, I mean, it's like something you expect like a bunch of thugs in Chicago to do, gangster tactics. It's like they have basically tried doing their best to silence the people. It's like they got the head of the party needs to realize that it's the people that make up the party, not the other way around. Republican Party needs us. We don't need the party.
And Jason, you are one of those people I was talking about. You've been a loyal Republican all your life, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was a kid with when Ronald Reagan was in office, and I was basically a Ronald Reagan Republican. So.
And are you not a loyal Republican anymore?
I'm still loyal, but you know what? The Republican Party at the national and at the national level is testing that loyalty of mine. It's okay. Like, why should I be supporting them if they're going to throw me and the rest of the people that think and act like me under the bus?
So tell me what it means to you to be a loyal Republican. Do you consider yourself a constitutionalist?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Strongly.
What do you think of Cynthia Davis?
I'm actually going to be voting for her.
Okay. So
I think that she is going to do a real good job.
So you are, in fact, no longer a loyal Republican.
Oh, I'm a loyal Republican. I just believe that voting for her and having her win the election would send a strong message to the party leadership that there are people who are going to tell the party leadership that you guys need to change to actually start listening to the people, or we're going to find someone else.
But I'm asking you if this time 2 years ago you'd been faced with the same choice as a loyal Republican and not having seen what's gone on in the Republican Party for the last year, would you still have been tempted to vote for Cynthia in all honesty? I mean, looking back, or would you just have taken the Republican line?
Well, 2 years ago, Cynthia Davis was a member of the Republican Party. I would have voted for her still.
I understand, but what I'm saying is 2 years ago, before what's happened here in the last 12 months, and let's face it, Jason, this thing that you feel right now has been building in you since the primary season began. I mean, we saw the Republican Party shepherd Mitt Romney to the top of the ticket. After about five primaries, it was pretty apparent to them that this guy was in trouble. You know, they had to start throwing some people off the bus. They had to start funneling some PAC money to Mitt Romney. And finally, they made the grade and forced Mitt Romney down. I don't know how you felt about Mitt Romney at the start of the season. I'm not even asking you, but I'm saying if we look around at what was happening on that stage where those six people stood, it was not Mitt Romney was clearly not the favorite. And you got Mitt Romney anyway. And I think that for most Republicans that I know, and I'm not a Republican, Jason, but for most Republicans that I know, the boiling started right about there. I mean, the boiling started as their guy, whether it was Santorum or Kaine or Gingrich or Ron Paul, got shoved to the side so that the party could bring Mitt Romney to the top.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those a number of those candidates have won at least one or two primaries, well, except for Herman Kaine, because he got pretty much forced out by that character assassination job that he went through that was targeted on him. It was complete and utter immoral on the media's behalf on what they did.
Right.
But what I think about Romney is, like, I pretty much think he's Obama light. The way they pretty much forced him on law of the party members, it wasn't right. Frankly, he only got my vote, and before what happened in Tampa, when he brought on Paul Ryan, I was okay. Well, Paul Ryan's a good pick for VP. I'll be willing to vote for Romney because Paul Ryan. But after this, it's like I'm just about ready to just say the heck with Obama. I'm not going to vote for Obama or Romney. I'm just going to write in Satan and vote for Satan, because if we elect either two of them, it's going to bring the nation to hell. I mean,
I might as well
vote for someone that knows all about hell.
I do argue with people who say there's no difference between Obama and Romney. I mean, I'm going to vote for Romney because I clearly see a difference between Romney and a guy who openly hates capitalism, and Romney and a guy who openly hates the United States of America, and Romney and a guy who openly hates black people and women.
There's a difference between Romney. I mean, that's why I said that's why I say he was Obama light, and it's not another copy of Obama. But
right. So I'm going to go ahead and vote for Romney. But I felt a little of the anger, and I had no lifelong Republican roots tied to this thing. And then Jason, tell me if I'm wrong now, because again, I'm just an outsider looking in. And so then the Republicans, the loyal Republicans, come back, a little bit bowed and a little bit angered from the primary season, and they come back to Missouri, and they say, okay, that's it. We're going to take our party back to the constitutional principles, and we're going to do it from the state and local level. And you started hearing
exactly what we're going to be doing. That's exactly what we're going to be doing.
And you started hearing names like Randles and Warren and and Varner and Parker and Mike Moon. You started hearing names like that, and then along comes the Missouri primary, and voila, what happens? The Republican Party comes in and sweeps you under the rug one more time.
Well, that depends on because you got to realize every 2 years the Republican Party at the state and the county level gets reorganized. A lot can happen in the next 2 years. A lot of the patriots, a lot of the constitutional Republicans, they're fired up. They're going to start going to make time to go to these meetings if they haven't been able to do so before, and they're going to be the ones who's going to be running in the race and the elections to be on the county committees.
Well, yeah.
To basically we're going to become the party elite. We're going to be pushing the elitists who have taken this party away, turned it into the Democrat light party, and we're going to be the Republican Party. We're going to be the central committees, the state committees, the national committees in 2 or 4 years' time.
I know some,
we're going to be doing.
You know, I know some people, in fact, some very good friends of mine who ran for and won some of these committee seats, and more power to them. Did you run for a committee seat?
Yes, I was. I'm the first committee man in 10 years for the Republican Party to represent Franklin Township in Howard County.
Great.
And I'm also running for county commissioner in Howard County, which if I win, I'll be also the first Republican county commissioner in Howard County since Reconstruction.
Wow. And what do you call your chances there?
Actually, looking at my numbers at the during the primary, I ran unopposed on the primary ticket, but the numbers were very close between me and my opponent. Like if it was the general election, I would have only lost by 25 votes, which is something concerning that Howard County has been staunchly Democrat for 150 years, and so that's a big deal here.
Okay, so you're down there now, and this is important to me because I don't have this insight. You know, I travel in a fairly closed circle of friends, and so it's easy for me to get all fired up and say, you know, we're doing pretty good. But then, you know, 90% of the people that I talk to and converse with and deal with every day are on my side on almost all these issues. So you're down there in a Democratic hotbed. How does it feel to you in the Democratic community? Are they disillusioned with Obama and the way things are going?
Let's just say that it's a good thing I don't have to pay Obama because I'd have to pay him for being my best recruiter.
Good. Good. That's good to hear. I don't get to talk to a lot of people either on the show here or in my day-to-day interactions who are living right in the, you know, right in the middle of a democratic society. And when I say democratic society, of course, I mean Democratic Party, not democratic as in Democratic Republic. But I get the feeling that Barack Obama is in serious trouble.
Well, I mean, considering that he's been the worst president in U.S. history, I mean, the guy makes William Harry Harrison look good. I mean, the guy, and that president only is not worthy for only surviving only 1 month as president before dying in office.
You're talking about my great 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 uncle there, Jason.
Well, I mean that's what history books know him as the worst term president in history. I mean,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Barack Obama, I mean, the only thing he has done right is pretty much anger almost everyone in the country. That's the only thing he's done right.
Yeah. But you know that, and I know that, and all of the people that you and I, you know, socialize with know that. But does the average, we're talking about loyal Republicans who've been loyal Republicans all their life. Does the average loyal Democrat who's been a loyal Democrat all his or her life, do they know that?
From what I'm hearing, yes.
Good.
They're seeing what the mainstream central part of the Democrat Party is all about now. It's more like socialism instead of what it used to be like during the time of Roosevelt or Truman, even up to Kennedy. And they're realizing that something's not right here. Something is really, really seriously wrong.
Okay. So the Republican Party, as we as we've known it, it's headed toward the ash bin. It's really is history, because so many millions of people like you are just done with it. What are we trying to rebuild here? What are we trying to turn this into?
Well, the thing I think is not so much going to the dustbin. I'm thinking it's basically, the Republican Party, by a lot of its own members, has pretty much been abused and neglected. It's like an old house. I mean, the foundation is still strong, and the foundation party are its members, but everything else, the frills, the walls, all stuff, the so-called elites and the movers and shakers in the party have pretty much rotted, corrupted, and they're going to be replaced. The Republican Party is going to be remodeled. It's going to be made into the mansion it was once was, that pretty much will allow everyone to come in, that stands on the basic freedoms of life, liberty, property, and the right to defend yourself and your rights.
Okay. So,
that's why I see what's going to be happening.
Okay. How does the party structure itself, to keep from becoming, I don't know how much you've listened to our show or how much you read my blogs, but I'm a libertarian, and I am not a member of the Libertarian Party. I'm libertarian in philosophy, and I despise parties because that's why I hate to see something like the Tea Party actually become a party, because as soon as you become a party, you have to have a hierarchy, you have to have a structure,
yep.
You have to have people yep. calling the shots. So how does the Republican Party look 8 years from now, Jason?
That depends on what's going to be happening in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to look? Coming down to what happens in the next 2 years. One good thing what's going to be coming out of Tampa, what happened there with the shenanigans, is you got a lot of these people fouled up, and they're going to go to the Republican Party meeting. They're going to become members of the Senate Committee. I'm hoping that it looks real well, that it will start looking like something that Reagan recognized, not what we got today.
Go ahead. No.
I'm hoping that it becomes a party that even Abraham Lincoln will recognize.
Okay. I think, and I've so stated that this is not going to be a surprise to any of our regular listeners. The best thing the Republican Party could do right now for the people of the party to take their party back, and I would be on board with this because I'm a constitutionalist, and I don't think with Mitt Romney we're getting much closer. I think we're marching in place with Mitt Romney. I don't think we're headed toward the cliff anymore at 900 miles an hour, but we're marching in place. And I think the best thing that the Republican people could do to take their party back, to say to their leadership, we're in charge now, is start immediately grooming a primary challenge to Mitt Romney in 4 years.
Exactly. That's what I believe, too.
And you might not need him. You might not use him or her, even. You might not. That might be enough that Mitt Romney, we'll know. We'll know in the first 6 months. If Mitt Romney does what needs to be done, either with the legislature, I'd hate to say through executive order, but I think this might be a serious enough issue to do that way if it had to be done. If he, in fact, goes through with repealing Obamacare, then he's going to be someone whose feet can be held to the fire. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think the majority of in-power Republicans now want to do it as much as they're saying. They know we want them to do it. I think if he does that, then he's going to be a guy whose feet the constitutional conservatives can hold to the fire and get things done. If he doesn't get that done, then I think that it's time, and I think just the idea that the Republican people, not the Republican Party, but the Republicans are already grooming his 4-year replacement is going to be enough to keep him in line.
I agree. We need to have some candidate to basically be the sword of Damocles to hang over Romney's head.
And
that one issue of Obamacare, it's going to make or break Romney. If he does not get that repealed within just a few months of his term, it will be very hard on him. And if he doesn't repeal it at all within his first term, he's going to be another one-term president like Obama.
Okay, so Jason, now let's get past the first day when the Rules Committee made a debacle of the entire Republican Party, and let's get down to the speeches. How do you think Ann Romney did?
You know, I don't have TV. It's like I was only keeping up with news reports, so I didn't hear none of their speeches. So
you don't have TV. You're not in the federal pen, are you?
Oh no.
Okay.
I don't have a satellite TV. I only got basic TV, and I only get six channels out here. So I have to basically internet.
Okay. Well, all right. What do you think? Have you been keeping up with the news on Todd? He's pulled even in most polls now. Yeah.
Yes. And what if Obama, for some reason, gets reelected? I mean, what the Republican Party did to Todd Akin was also shameful too. I mean, this Todd Akin has stood up. Yes, he did say something that was very stupid. He apologized for that, and despite the many pleas and threats to have to, for him to pull out, he's still staying in the race. So almost a spy made of that high quality steel is someone you need in the Senate to stand up to Obama. I mean, if anything else, this just exactly proves that Todd Akin is the man for the job in the Senate.
Right. Well, no, and you know, one of the things that I like about the fact that the party elite came down on him so hard is I like the idea of Todd Akin arriving in Washington, D.C. in January with maybe a little bit of grudge and certainly no indebtedness to Roy Blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would be awful easy for a guy like Akin to get up there in the good old boy system and fall under the wing of Roy Blunt, and then what have you got? You've got just another rhino.
Yep.
So, but I think he's back even in the polls now. I think in the next 2 weeks he moves back ahead. Maybe not as much as he was before, but he is certainly proof that in politics there is no permanent repercussion for being stupid.
Yeah, if that's the case, then no one will get elected to any office.
Yep. But
I think Todd Akin, I think he's going to definitely get elected 2-1 or even 3-1 vote margin over Capitol.
Really, you think that much?
Yes, I think all you have to do is just keep on hitting Claire where it hurts. I mean, he said one stupid thing.
Yep.
Claire McCaskill's entire term in office has been a giant, huge, stupid mess. I mean, Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
TARP,
yep.
The fact that she's dodged private property taxes on her plane. Todd Akin's mistake is a tiny grain of sand compared to this huge boulder of a mess that Claire McCaskill is.
Right. No, I agree with you.
He just has to keep on hitting her on that.
No, I agree. And I didn't vote for Akin in the primary, and I quite frankly was on the radio Monday night after his Sunday interview, suggesting, but I was thinking that he certainly would, and thinking that it was probably in the best interest of beating Claire McCaskill. But by Tuesday at 5 o'clock, just to prove that it's okay for you callers to call 347-677-1835, even if you disagree with me, there's some days when I disagree with myself. By Tuesday, I had come all the way around, and by 5 o'clock Tuesday, when we were about ready to go on the air, and Todd Akin had made it pretty clear that he was staying in, I was on board 100% once more. And call me a flip-flopper if you want, but I think beating Claire McCaskill is good. I came on board. I came back on board a lot because of the grace and style that he used in that apology. Now, listen, Todd Akin, I'm about damn done with the apology commercials, though. Be finished with that and move on to something else.
Yeah, he stopped the apologizing and start moving on. I mean, because if he keeps on apologizing, that just keeps brushing media as just brush meat. It's like,
yeah. But the
The
class and sincerity of his apology won me back. The fact that he and I am just enough anti-party elite that the way the party lined up against him definitely sealed the deal for me.
Yeah, I think that's sealed a lot of deals for people that on the Republican Party that support people like Steelman and Bruner, and they all of them who I know there's still some out there who would like to see him bow out, but I think a lot of them are rallying around Todd Aiken just because he stood in there. He walked through the fire and came out stronger than ever, in my opinion. And that's why a lot of people are going to be supporting him, in my opinion.
We got to take a break here, Jason, and you're welcome to hang on. We'll be back in about a minute and a half, and we're going to talk a little bit of fair tax.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Okay, hang on.
Yep, sure.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835 to get yourself on the Voice of Liberty, Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. I'm Dave. This is the Thursday Night Hour of Truth. We got Jason here. You know what? Last year, the first week of December, a bunch of crazy people who were dejected and downcast and as members, as ex-members of the Kane train having been derailed, got together and decided to form the Missouri Grassroots Coalition and to bring together as many of the patriot groups in Missouri as we could to make a single strong voice to Jefferson City with the idea of putting people in committee seats, of putting people on city councils and county commissions, with the idea of bringing the weight of the entire coalition to local issues, and that has become our strength. Our strength is if you're in Osage Beach and you've got an issue with your county commission or with your city council, you bring that to your friends at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and we will bring the weight of 30, 40, 50,000 people, emails and letters and phone calls to Osage Beach, and we'll help you get something done. But in December, the first week of December, we formed, and that's not what I'm pitching. By the second week of December, we thought, what better way to get our wheels on the ground and get rolling than to do something like a Secret Santa, to have some kind of a charitable cause to bring people together. From this infant group of, I think, 110 people maybe in that first month, we collected $200, and we took that $200 and we went down to a Walmart, and we found two layaways on Christmas Eve, late on the afternoon of Christmas Eve, that had not been paid off. Two families whose children were not going to get the toys that their families had planned on having them available for Christmas. You know how tough it can be to find money at Christmas time. And at the same time, everybody's asking you for money. I mean, at the same time, you're trying to get some money together to give your kids a Christmas. Everybody else is asking you for money. So we managed to do this for two families, and we decided immediately after the first of the year that what we wanted to do, rather than us being just another person coming around to you in November and December when it's so hard begging for money, is we wanted to go ahead and open the account in January. People could come along. They could give a dollar a month. They could give a dollar. They could give $2. And we were going to set ourselves a goal of $400 and four families help. So that's our goal. You can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can give to the Secret Santa. 100% of every dime you give goes to this project. There's no salaries at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. There's no overhead. We don't even let Missouri Grassroots Coalition buy the gas that we use to go to these stores and pay off these layaways. Every penny goes to this Secret Santa program. And at the end of the program, on Christmas Eve, when we go to these stores and spring four families layaways, the members of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Executive Committee will reach into our pockets and we'll pull out some money. And it won't be a lot. It won't be $10 each. It won't even be probably $5 each between the six of us. But just enough to make sure that we find four layaways that use slightly more than what you've donated, so that we can keep our promise to you that every penny you donated goes to this cause. So won't you go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org? Won't you click on the Secret Santa button? Won't you send us a dollar, $2, commit in your own mind to send us a dollar a month, a dollar a week, whatever you can afford. This is a worthy cause, and conservative people are absolutely great people. Jason, what do you think of the fair tax?
Oh, I absolutely love it.
You know a whole lot about it?
I know quite a bit about it. I mean, not everything. I mean, I don't know everything there is about it. I mean, who does? But as far as I'm concerned, it's basically the greatest tax reform ever in the history of the United States. I mean, it'll in one fell swoop let the public take home 100% of their paycheck, 100% of their income. It'll remove the biggest and most powerful weapon of class warfare that the progressives have over the United States. I mean, that's the amount of money it handled to offer at the same time turned the United States into the largest tax haven in the entire world. I mean, Switzerland, Cayman Islands, all that money that people stashed away to avoid taxes. Imagine all that money coming to the United States. It's like all that $11 trillion coming to the United States, all that money being able to be invested in new jobs, new businesses, new improvements to this country. I mean, it's just going to be the best thing to happen in this country, sort of getting rid of Obama.
Absolutely, I agree. I want you listeners to do me a favor now. I want you to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the blogs button, and I'm doing a series there. And I want people to read it and understand it, and I want people to give me some input to it, because in my mind, Jason, the problem that we have with the fair tax is selling it to the people who do the voting. I mean, if the people who do the voting were telling their legislators that they're voting on, this is what you need to be behind. This is the single most important thing that you can give our country. This is what we want. This is what we need. And we know that this will swing our country back to where it should be. If enough of the voters would get in on this, and this is what I don't understand, Jason, this fair tax ought to be a dream come true for the progressive voter. I know it's not a dream come true for the progressive politician who wants the power to penalize you for smoking, or to penalize you for buying ammunition, or to penalize or to reward you for buying solar panels. I know it's not a dream come true for the progressive politician, and for that matter, it's not a dream come true for the conservative politician or the politician who calls himself a conservative nowadays and isn't really. But this is absolutely a dream come true for the progressive voter, for the voter who believes in equality, for the voter who believes in progressive tax. It is a progressive tax. For the voter who believes in everybody paying their fair share, everybody does pay their fair share. I don't understand why the average progressive voter isn't already on board with this thing, except for the fact that we've kind of dropped the ball in getting the word out.
Well, I think the main problem with the progressive voter is that they think of it as us versus them mentality. They view the income tax as a way to punish the wealthy, the rich, and their ill-gotten wealth, and to give that back to them. They, for some reason, they don't see it as something that really hurts them, because technically, when you think about it, businesses don't really pay taxes. They pay the taxes, and they pass that as cost of doing business, and they pass that on to the products they sell to the people in the inner cities, everyone. And
well,
they just see it as a way to hurt someone and to give some back to themselves, and they don't know what they're actually doing is hurting themselves, too. They don't see it that way.
Well, that's what I don't get. I don't get that they can't see it that way. I mean, if we put the fair tax in beginning January 1st, 2013 would see the largest middle class tax cut in the history of this country. I mean, middle class people would be paying thousands and thousands less a year in taxes.
Oh yeah, and the same thing with the poor too. I mean,
Absolutely. Time
when they go and even though they don't do much in and their income tax and all stuff, but when they actually go and pay for something, a lot, about 20 to 25% of what they pay for is taxes that have been rolled in.
Well,
all that will go away. They'll get like a 25% tax reduction automatically if we have the fair tax in.
I mean, they're going to get a 7.5% tax reduction immediately because the payroll tax goes away, and that's something that no matter how poor you are, you pay that tax and you never get it back.
You may
walk around thinking, well, I don't pay any income tax. You know, I get everything back at the end of the year. No, you don't. That payroll tax that they took out at 7.5% of your net pay, not of your take-home pay, at 7.5% of your 40-hour net pay, you'll never see again.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, the amount of money they lost, if they would have, say, just to put that in the bank and got interest from the money they put in the bank, if they would have just taken that 7% and put it in the bank.
That's right.
I mean, the way the tax system is, they basically steals from them too. It's,
yep. Money that, you know, in the current income tax system, with them holding money out of your pay every week, every dime you save has already been taxed. Every dime you tithe to your church has already been taxed. Every dime you give to Social Security has already been taxed. If you go buy a used car, that dollar that you're spending on the car has already been taxed.
Every dime you save up to give to your descendants when you pass away, not only has it already been taxed, it's going to get taxed again.
That's right. And now, if you work 40 hours a week for $10 an hour, you bring home $400, untaxed money. And you don't get taxed a dime on the tithes to your church. You don't get taxed a dime on the money you give to charity. You don't get taxed a dime on buying a used car. You don't get taxed a dime on the allowance you give your kid. You don't get taxed a dime on any of that stuff that previously was already taxed money. And you only get taxed when you buy something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I make minimum wage. I deliver pizzas for a living, and it's like I can look at my paycheck and see how much they take out in taxes. And it's like it's almost like a force. I make minimum wage and I get 25% of my income taken out already.
That's right.
And it's pathetic. It's like I barely have enough to keep on paying for the gas to work.
Well, that's yeah. I hear you. I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it. One of you callers call in. One of you listeners call in 347-677-1835 and tell me why we're not able to sell this to progressive voters. And I'm talking about the voters like Jason. You know, I'm talking about the single mom out there who doesn't really give a shit about, you know, punishing Bill Gates. All she wants to do is feed her kids, you know, and you know, put gas in her car and get back and forth to work and buy her kids school lunch. Tell me why we are unable to sell her a $265 a month tax break. I mean, why can't we do that? Why can't we have her on the phone calling her representative saying, hey, listen, Buster, I want this tax break. Get it for me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think that's been sold for so long on a bill of goods. It basically says that, oh, okay, we'll give you back a certain amount of your paycheck every year for what we stole from you in the first place, and they package it to make like you're getting a reward or something. It's like it's no different from saying that I go to your house and I rob your house, take your bitching furniture, your bed and everything, your silverware, and then you're out of everything. So okay, you get your insurance money. You trying to find your replacements for the property that got stolen, and then lo and behold, you see me at the back of a truck selling your stuff, and you go and buy it for me. I'm offering you half price, and you buy it for me. And goes, hey, look, I got a good deal. I got all my stuff for half off.
That's
what basically the income tax is right now.
That's right. So folks, I want your input. I want you to read what we're talking about here at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. The series is called Occupy IRS. And of course, it's a kind of a theft of an idea from Occupy Wall Street, and basically it's us saying the IRS is evil and the IRS is what's wrong with this country, just like the Occupy Wall Street people are saying quite wrongly that Wall Street is what's wrong with this country and that capitalism is what's wrong with this country. We're saying just the opposite. But that's the name of the series. I've done two parts of the series now. One is the first one that kind of explains away the myth that the fair tax is bad for the group of people we call the working poor. That, you know, that mom, Jason here, that mom that you know, that works 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, just to buy her kids school lunch and put some school clothes on their backs, that it's not bad for those people, that it is in fact good for those people. And I've also done part two now, which talks about how this is the largest middle class tax cut in history. I went through and I explained the best of my knowledge anyway, in what I think are fairly simple terms that most people can understand why this is a huge middle-class tax cut, how it works that it's a huge middle-class tax cut. And I hope that I have explained it in such a way that you can take your situation, plug it into the scenario, and decide for yourself. Or any theoretical situation. I mean, you can just make up a guy and his wife and one kid that make $212,000 a year and plug it into the scenario if you want and find out that these people get a huge tax cut. And next we're going to talk about the next segment is going to be about how the fair tax is in fact a very progressive tax, how when it's all said and done, rich people still pay a hell of a lot more tax than poor people. So go read that, give us some input, write some comments, argue if you see something that I've done wrong there or stated wrong, bring it up and let's discuss it. But my goal here is for us all to be educated enough about the fair tax that that we can go out here and sell this damn thing to our friends who might not get it, who might, our progressive, our liberal, our democratic, our doubting conservative friends who, for some reason or other, have bought into some of this myth. You know, I had a person come right on today and say, well, you know, what you've said isn't true. It's very bad for the poor people. Well, show me, go look at this scenario and tell me what I've done wrong here that makes this bad for this poor woman with her two kids. Or are you just saying something that you heard somebody else say? Because I don't see any way that it's bad for this poor woman. I mean, aside from giving her more control of her own money and her own life, she pays less tax. It just is that simple. Still there, Jason?
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm still here. Yeah,
okay.
The only real main opposition to the fair tax is basically, I mean, you got the Federal Reserve, you got the IRS, you got all these politicians who basically want the power to control on how you spend, how you live your life. Those are the only ones who are going to be losing out. Everyone else, every single man, woman, child, the poor, the middle class, the rich, everyone wins with the fair tax.
That's right. I don't see a loser except for, like you say, the power politicians who want to be able to continue to use the tax code to punish not only the rich to redistribute wealth, but they also want to control your behavior. They want to control your habits. They want to make you want to do what they want you to do.
Make the American people basically a giant, you know, a country of lab rats. It's basically a social experiment with a progressive income tax.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're out of time, Jason. Hey, thanks for the call. I've sure enjoyed chatting with you tonight.
It was great. Nice talking with you too.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Jason Davidson from Henry County?
Howard County.
Howard County. Bye, Jason Davidson from Howard County. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, announcement. Tomorrow night will be, of course, the roundtable. At least Lisa and I will be here. I think we might have Mike and Terry along tomorrow night. Vaughn is continuing on an extended leave of absence. Because of that, Lisa and I we've held on as long as we could, hoping that Vaughn was going to make it back. It's going to be an extended leave of absence. So as much as we hate to, Lisa and I, we have jobs and things to do too, and we just can't do this. We can't continue to carry this 5 nights a week. We're cutting out Tuesdays immediately. There will be no Tuesday night next week. We're going to get to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I have to do a Thursday night show next week because I already have a guest. You'll not want to miss this. Cynthia Davis is going to be along next Thursday night. And then after that, we're going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Terry Varner is going to join us as soon as he finishes wrapping up his campaign. And so there will be another night, and we'll figure out something when we open up that fourth night just to keep it symmetrical to do with the fifth night as well. So as soon as we get – and it won't be that long. But for now, we're going to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday will be me in the Hour of Truth. Wednesday will be Lisa, the Culture Vigilante. And Friday will continue, of course, to be our very informative and entertaining roundtable. Don't miss next Thursday. Cynthia Davis is a hoot. I mean, aside from being an absolute constitutional conservative, I mean, even capital C conservative, a little bit too much for me at times. This is an entertaining woman who will, she'll make you laugh, she'll make you think, she'll make you want to just reach out across the airwaves and give her a big hug. But it's always a great show when we have Cynthia on, and we always look forward to it. That'll be next Thursday. Remember, starting the week after that, then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for a while. I don't know what Lisa's got coming. Usually she'd be here with us on Thursday, but again, she had something something going on tonight, and I'm darn sure it was something politics, because you know how Lisa is. That's a wrap for tonight, though. We've had a good time. We talked to Jason Davidson from Howard County, and we talked to him about the fair tax and the Republicans. It was good to have a loyal Republican all his life on who has those feelings that we've been trying to put our finger on here all week long, of frustration, of, you know, and it's great. I mean, Lisa's a loyal Republican, and so we've heard her, but you hear her every night, and you know where she's coming from, and that doesn't really make it part of the outside the MGC crowd. You know, I mean, we get on here every night and we rave and we rant, and you know, I talk about the fair tax, and it just amazes me that people don't get it, and that's because, you know, I honestly don't. I don't go to the mall and talk about the fair tax. I don't go to the church and talk about the fair tax. I don't go to work and talk about the fair tax. I don't go down to the dog park with my dog in the morning and talk about the fair tax. So I don't really have a feel for how it is out there. So we thank Jason for calling in and spending some time with us tonight and giving us that feel for, you know, this guy's a pizza delivery driver, and he thinks the fair tax is the best thing in the world. What can you say? What more can I say? What more can I say than that? And what more would I ever want to say than that? This is Dave. You've been listening to the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow night with a roundtable. And we wish you all a great evening.
God bless America.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.